Thank you very much. And we are moving on to new business. This next topic has been a long time coming, everyone. This is Resolution 21-544, Implementation Plan for Integration of EMS and Fire. And this resolution basically states that we will agree to move forward with the integration of EMS and fire. I believe you've all had time to review the implementation plan. And I think at this point, we should just open this up to discussion as a board. And I don't want to go first, so somebody.
I'll kick it off. Well, first, thank you, incoming Superintendent Butler, for putting this together in your role with EMS. From what I can tell, this plan would answer the questions that we have been asking, including my first question, which was, what plan do we have for making a plan to head towards integration? And so now we have it. It's outlined. We have timelines, we have deadlines, and we have tasks that need to be accomplished within those deadlines. And most of the planning tasks that we've been concerned about. Am I coming through very well, by the way?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine.
Okay, I thought I was getting a little feedback, and my wife and I are both Zooming at the moment, or using video conference. So, and I'm farther away from the wireless signal. So just wanted to make sure. Thanks.
Nope, you're good.
Okay,
you're good.
Okay, great. So anyway, we would have all of our, I think most of our questions at least answered by August of this year, which would allow for the process to move forward in a way that if for some reason integration did not work out and the agencies weren't able to work together or find a path forward, EMS would still be protected in being able to go to the public and renew the EMS levy itself under the hospital district. So this makes a lot of sense to me. It identifies budgetary issues and making sure that we see a budget. It identifies personnel issues and making sure that we see a combined organization chart, and does quite a bit more than that. So I favor it. I think this is the best path forward to find the information that we need to have, and so that the staff at EMS and the people like us who are overseeing EMS in the hospital district can feel comfortable about what the public would be voting on if integration were to occur.
Great, thank you.
Have well said, this Kyle. Is, that's awesome.
Yeah. Go ahead, Gail.
Oh, no, I'm not saying much. I'm just saying that's great. That's a great synopsis, Kyle. And go ahead, Everett.
Yeah. I agree with Kyle. I think that he did a great job of saying what it contains. For me, I think the significance is that part of the significance is that it represents meaningful dialogue, which is what was missing, I think, from my point of view initially. I think we all felt that integration or pursuing integration was a good idea. We just did not seem to have the dialogue that produced what this agreement, this plan, at least has. And so I'm delighted to see that Nathan and the fire district have been able to work together, and that's delightful. I'm very hopeful that they will continue to do so, and that I'm just really hopeful that things will proceed. So that's really all I had to say. Thank you.
Thanks, Everett. Trish?
I'd like to just commend Superintendent Butler, EMS Administrator Butler, for really the fine outline that you've done and the comprehensive work that you've done putting this whole plan together on paper, which I feel like the public needs to be able to see. I'm sure it's on our website or will be. My mistake, yes. And so the public, I even feel like this should be perhaps published in the paper so that our community, our island knows exactly what the plan is, because this is what we wanted. I wanted a roadmap for integration, and this is the roadmap, and I'm so grateful for it. And I think that the public needs to be able to see this roadmap as well. And, you know, having the combined budgets, having the organizational chart and the path forward, and the fact that we have timelines. And Kyle, thank you so much for your incredible, excellent synopsis of this. So I'm delighted with the plan as it stands. I know that this is very controversial. We have a majority of our EMS department who support integration, and we have many too that don't, but majority does. And I want to acknowledge and validate people's concerns. I know within the community, we've had community members reach out to us who absolutely want integration to happen. And we have community members who have reached out to us to say, don't want it to happen. And I can see all these points of view, but I think it's the right thing to do for our community. I think that it is the efficient thing to do. And I think if we can move forward with the plan that is in place, it would be fantastic. So thank you.
Thank you, Gail. Did you have anything you cared to add?
Nope. I agree with many of the comments that have been said. I have no eloquence at this time of day, so I will go along with nod my head.
Okay. Thank you. I on my end, I do really appreciate that we gave Nathan 3 months to achieve what he has, and he has done so. And thank you very much. And I am at this point really reflecting on how far we've come in a year as a board and with this process. And I really thank all of you for your work to get here. You know, I think that we have a lot of things that we didn't have a year ago. We have an upcoming annexation of town into Fire Department 3's levy coming up on the ballot. We have unionized our EMTs into our union. So we have a more unionized staff, and we have an agreement from the fire department to accept our unionized staff. I feel like that was really important to me, to know that they would be valued and accepted and their jobs would be secure in this process. We've had staff feedback on this, and we know the majority of our staff believes this is the right way to go. We have taken actions as a board to resolve some of our liabilities to make us a healthier agency. We have agreed upon the terms of what we will accept for integration to happen. And because of that, we have a planned pathway with benchmarks that we can measure. And we have confirmation from our medical program director, Dr. Corsa, that ALS care and paramedic response will continue at the high standard that it does in a combined agency. That's very important to me, and it's essential for our community. And I like that we know that a combined agency will provide efficiencies, and it will ultimately save our community money. It should cost less. And that really the ultimate decision on this is up to the voters. And so I'm very happy with this, and I thank everyone for their work. I'm grateful that you know, the fire department is willing to work with us. So I see that our staff works well together in the field and in response, and there's no reason why why the rest of us can't do the same. So anyway, thank you for your work on this, Nathan. And if there's nothing further.
Is it all right if I say something too when you guys are done?
Of course, please.
Yeah, I just want to reassure, we did do a survey. We don't know what the breakdown was, staff versus volunteers. It was sent out to all the agency. There was no check mark to say I'm staff, I'm volunteer, but we did find that a majority, not a large majority, but a majority of our agency do favor integration. That said, I know that there are heavy concerns on the part of many of our people. This process has been, it's been a long one, and I know that people have concerns. I do believe this is the right way to go. I recognize that any project of this sort is a challenge. It doesn't, whatever the situation, whatever the context, it's a big deal. I recognize that proceeding with integration will mean some loss. San Juan Island EMS has a proud history of serving the public, of taking care of people in their time of need, and excuse me, and being there when they're most needed. Middle of the night, middle of the day, rain, shine, whether the helicopters are running or not, whatever the situation, our people are there and have been for many, many years and done a very fine job. And there's a sense of institutional pride that all of us have. And as we contemplate moving to the fire district, I know that this is, it's a big change. I know it weighs heavily on people's minds. I commit that whatever we do, we'll do openly, that we'll communicate clearly with everyone as the process goes forward, that you will know what we are doing, we'll be upfront about it. I commit that, you know, we will do whatever we can to make sure this process is smooth, that not only do we end up where we need to be, but that the process is not unduly difficult for you. I want to reassure our staff and our volunteers and our agency that I'm in your corner, that I'm on your side, that we will go through this together, and that we will get where we need to be. I believe this is a fair deal, that I know some people don't like the word deal, but it's an understanding between agencies, and I think it's a reasonable plan. So I will, if any of you have concerns, those of you listening tonight, I don't know why my voice is breaking here. if you have concerns, talk to me, and I'll do what I can to resolve them. I'm totally committed to that, and I'm here, and I want to help people feel good about this process. I do believe it will benefit the public. I do believe it's the right thing. I also want to express appreciation of the fire district for working on this with me. You know, Norvin was great. We really didn't have a hard time working this out. So I'm very pleased at where we're at right now, and look forward to your decision.
Thank you. It has been hard, and it's been a long road, and it is emotional. You know, it means a lot to all of us. So if there's no further discussion, I'll call for, or I'd entertain a motion to adopt our resolution 21-544, resolution of San Juan Island Public Hospital District number 1 to move forward with the integration of EMS and fire.
I move that we adopt resolution 21-544, and we've already just mentioned the title.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. The resolution passes unanimously. Thank you.
I don't, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Is that Trish?
It is. Can you hear us, Commissioner Lehman?
I know it says you're muted on your thing, but we do hear you, which is odd. Oh, now we've lost you.
Okay, should we just move on? Let's see, we've got a bit of a housekeeping item. With Pam retiring, we need to address who our auditing officers are. And I believe we're moving to have Nathan, obviously, and then Michelle Novak at the county has agreed to be the second. Nathan, do I need to explain this any further, or would you like to?
I don't think so. I mean, basically, it's just the people authorized to authorized warrants, mainly payroll and accounts payable. It's just a bookkeeping item.
Yeah, since we don't have Pam, we'll be moving to the two of you. So that's resolution 20-545, that San Juan County Public Hospital District number 1 is establishing authorized primary auditing officer and alternate authorized auditing officer for San Juan County Public Hospital District number 1 and San Juan Island Emergency Medical Services. I would entertain a motion.
I move we adopt resolution 21-545, the adopting the primary and secondary auditing officer.
Thank you.
I second.
Thank you.
And just a quick note, we should probably title it 21-545, right? Just for record keeping purposes.
Because it's 20, yeah, it should be 20.
Commissioner Clary did call it that, and I think that's what it actually is. But I just noticed it's 20-545.
It does say 20. Thank you. Good catch. So resolution 21-545 to correct. So all in favor?
Aye.
And Trish is raising her hand, even though we can't hear her. Thank you, Trish. Let's see. We have another sort of housekeeping item, which is surplus several small and attractive assets. That is resolution 21-546.
Yeah, I'm sorry, commissioners, I got this to you so late. I was trying to work out the details on this. Do you want me to explain this?
Sure.
Okay, so what's going on is, number one, there's an old couch we've got to get rid of. That's nothing really going on with that, nothing eventful. Same with the display case. The interesting thing is that the 4 spectrum ID pumps and the 2 ultrasounds, this is equipment that we are selling to partner agencies in the county. Mm-hmm. Need to surplus it so that we can sell it. We actually purchased the ultrasounds with the intention of selling them to them. We got a package rate. This kind of thing happens. We're small agents. We don't have a lot of equipment, you know, so a lot of times you can save money if you buy things in sets. I just got a call from Lopez today about some equipment they wanted to buy, and it was $75 per unit if you get more than 4, and it was $300 if you only get 1, which seems like an insane model. Anyway, it is what it is, but that's all that's going on here. We have some old spectrum IV pumps that we don't really, they're not old, they're still fine, but they not doing us any good, so we want to sell them. We're going to keep enough for ourselves, and then, you know, we only need 2 ultrasounds, and we got 4 as part of a package thing. So that's all that's going on here. I'm sorry I got this to you this afternoon. I know it's not ideal. I tried to get you the highest priority stuff before the weekend, and then some of this housekeeping stuff trickles in later, but I'm happy to answer any questions.
What kind of material is that couch? No, I'm just kidding.
I'm sure it's all fine, Nathan. Thank you so much. I would entertain a motion to adopt resolution 21-546.
I will second.
Well, you'd have to move first because I was
so moved.
Thank you.
Or you can flip those.
Okay. Seconded, moved, whatever. Second. So all done. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much. Let's see. We have the HRSA grant, the HRSA planning grant, and we have a memorandum of understanding we need to discuss. And I believe this is, again, another transitional piece just with Pam retiring and moving Nathan into her role. Is that correct?
That's part of it. That is part of it. But really, it's a requirement from the grant itself that the partner agencies have an MOU agreeing to their various responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And I think because Pam was leaving, they wanted to do it now as opposed to another time, but it needed done either way. Each agency still has some named people on the grant, but this just kind of codifies the responsibilities of the different partners.
Now, is this for the care coordination grant, or is this both grants combined? I haven't I don't remember reading about, because this combines district number 2 and district number 1, and that wasn't initially in the care coordination grant.
This is just the planning grant, which does have hospital district.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it is what it is, but it took a while. It's done.
I do have a comment on this in that, and I think one big issue with both our HRSA grants is that we continually leave out the county in this, and the county right now carries the major long-term care contracts for county services for what this is stated in here, increasing home and community-based long-term care services. I mean, that's what the county senior services does, and consistently we've asked that the county be brought to the table too, so that the services currently being delivered are also clearly mapped out and not duplicated in the grant process. So I'm hoping that that's being done, but I haven't heard back, and I know the county certainly hasn't heard back and doesn't know about this whole process. So it would be nice to inform them in some capacity. I'm not sure where that falls.
Yeah, go ahead, Trish.
Oh, I was just going to say, Tom Ebersole, can you help me understand Gail, where he fits into you and the work you do?
He's not a county member at all. He was a part of another program based on ORCIS, but he's not a county representative or employee at all. He worked for Hearts and Hands, which is an organization that was a volunteer organization that helped folks that was based in the ORCIS Senior Center. So I'm just talking about to inform somebody, Mark Tompkins, for instance, about that this is even happening, and have him send somebody to the table to just represent what's already happening, because I feel like people don't realize what services are already available and then what we'd be adding.
In the planning grant you're talking about.
Both grants. But the planning grant is where we've asked, because they're bringing all partners together and trying to expand mm-hmm. to a network countywide, and the county, San Juan County Health and Community Services is already countywide, so they would be really helpful because they have all the links to all the islands and know all the players involved as well. So
So I'm involved with the planning grant now, and I would love to know, Gail, who should be invited, because I think that needs to happen, and we can make that happen, hopefully, if the person
is
available.
Well, we've said consistently that Heidi Bruce is available. Heidi Bruce has asked Ann Preston to be invited to the meetings. Heidi Bruce is Aging and Family Case Coordinator for San Juan County Senior Services based on ORCAS.
She's Aging and Family
Case Coordinator.
Case coordinator. Okay.
But we can offline, I can send you her information. But
great. Yes, because I want to make that happen.
I think Mark has to also have a say. Her boss has to have a say in who is the most important to bring to the table, because this hugely affects all the grants we already have.
And I would like to see and assure that we're not, reinventing the wheel or creating something that already exists or even attempting to. So I completely support this. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk, Gail, you and I.
Yeah, okay, we can talk. Okay. Great.
Great. All right.
Commissioner Lachine Seitz, that sounds like a kind of a concern generally regarding the grants, but not specific to the MOU. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure that was the case. So we did talk quite a bit today. We had a joint HRSA grant discussion, just 5 or 6 of us, the people named in the grant, along with Jody Corona and Kyle Davies. And we talked about this issue of representation and bringing more people in and stuff. And it sounds like, that's an ongoing challenge and that people are aware of it and that that's being worked on. But this is a specific take on it that I hadn't heard yet, so it's good to know, and I'll make sure to communicate with both of you about this as well.
And I was invited to attend a meeting this morning with all the entire team for San Juan County for Alpha Home Health, and we discussed this very issue about, and I'm going to be reaching out to Kyle Davies about this, because having worked in home health and having had the frustration of knowing that I've had patients on home health when their primary care physician doesn't even know they're on home health because this individual was hospitalized for, say, a broken hip. The home health orders were driven during the hospital stay. The patient was put onto home health. Eventually, their primary care doctor has to sign a care plan, but that can happen some weeks after the fact. And meanwhile, their own primary care doctor has no idea they're on home health. And that doctor could be giving a referral to Kyle for one of his people to go out into the home. And then you've got this duplication of services. And does the right hand know what the left hand's doing? So this is a big issue. Everybody being at the table, the right hand knows what the left hand's doing. There's so many players out here in our county. And I think it's really important because one of the confusions that was brought up again, and it happened when I was in home health, I didn't at the time know community paramedicine even existed. This was, you know, some years ago. And I would go into a home and someone would say, oh, honey, there was a woman here today who went through my pillbox. And, you know, she went through all my medications. And I said, well, who is that? And they didn't know. And it's very challenging then when you come in as the home health provider and you don't want to confuse. I mean, that's very confusing for an individual, particularly somebody who's older and you're giving information to them and you've got some other entity giving information. And we all need to be talking together. So, yeah, that's what I'll say. And I'll be talking with Kyle later, Kyle Davies.
You know, it's not a super easy balance to find, you know, I mean, the bigger game, the more the harder it is to get anything done. But at the same time, to get anything done, you need a lot of people. So,
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's definitely
There's so much great work going on. You know, what community care medicine is doing is phenomenal. And what our HRSA grant, the care coordination grant is just, I'm so looking forward to seeing, you know, what's going to happen as that emerges. But we really all need to be on the same page. And I think that's just terribly important.
Yeah, one thing that seems like it needs to be part of our meetings, or I don't know if it's, is it going to be part of our meetings to have a report out on how the HRSA grants are proceeding and what progress has been made? Is that something we're going to put on our agenda regularly? And who's going to present that? I know we're talking about it.
Would it be Kyle or Evan?
So there's a few different ways we could handle that. Pam, you had a meeting with them a few weeks ago talking about that issue. What did you guys decide?
Well, we had a meeting with Commissioner Lehman and yourself, Nathan, also that Commissioner Lehman is involved in these work groups right now and that she will be getting the information firsthand and would be able to inform the rest of the commissioners what is going on with those committee topics.
That wasn't my understanding. I would very much like to have Kyle Davies.
Well, it was a combination. We were talking about a combination that now that the two grants are totally moving forward now that with Nathan will be attending the network partner meetings because he has to be a named employee for the district because we're the applicant agency. So he'll be attending the network meetings. And then Commissioner Lehman, you'll be continue the work group meetings. And then Evan, the project director, should be giving you regular reports. And you need to decide, you know, how often you want them. Do you want him to come every month to your meeting? You know, every quarter? and then to communicate with the hub coordinator, and Kyle Davies, the hub coordinator, and Evan Careless, the project director, they get together quite often, and to see, you know, when you want your reports, if you want them both to come, and the time period, or just Evan, and or depending on what is being worked on, you might want one or the other to come. And then you have Commissioner Lehman, you'll have the fill-in knowledge from attending the work group meetings. And Nathan, you'll also have knowledge from continuing to go to the network meetings. And so it's just how you want to structure, you know, who gives, when you want the reports and how often you want them and who you like them from, since it's split up now.
I thought you had, thanks for that, Pam. I thought you had a meeting the Friday before that week. Trish, myself, you and Trish did meet on a Monday, but Friday or Thursday before, I thought you had met with Evan and Kyle and all of that to talk about this.
Yes, and that's where I'm saying that you need to decide which of them, Evan or Kyle or both of them, they are willing and want to give progress, but the okay. commissioners and the board need to decide on what kind of a schedule, you know, every month, every other month.
I would propose, okay. Sorry. I would propose that we have Evan, who is the project manager. I mean, Kyle reports to Evan, you know, so it would make sense to me to have Evan come once a quarter. And then myself and Trish for the planning grant report to you monthly. And then I will additionally send you reports on the other grant, the bigger one. I send you updates regularly. I've already sent you one update on the grants, and I will do that regularly. We probably need to respect Evan's time. Probably monthly is too much, but I think you should have regular time with Evan. That would be what makes sense to me, but I can ask them to do whatever you want. If you guys want more regular reports, I can ask.
Well, I would suggest, because we're now at the end of March, is of course the end of the first quarter. So let's have Evan give us a report at our next board meeting. Does that sound okay to everybody? And then we can maybe start off with every quarter. That sounds great. Reasonable to me.
And I always like to hear from Kyle too, so if he'd like to add anything.
And then who will be giving the committee meetings? Because now you're, as you know, Trish, the work group meetings are happening quite frequently. So there probably will be a meeting from 1 month to the next. So would you to decide, you know, are you going to give the report from that to the commissioners? Will you and Nathan get together and combine your network report and your work group report? Because the networks meet at least once a month too. So there's those kinds of meetings that are going on every month.
And wouldn't that just fall under committee reports?
Yes, and that's what I'm saying. Who's gonna do, you know?
Right.
Do that information. Is it just going to be Trish? It's going to be both Nathan and Trish, because Nathan will go to one and Trish goes to another.
Okay. I think Nathan, you and I will be talking about that.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm part of one of the committees too. I don't understand why. And we kind of do it as our committee report outs seem to be whoever's, you know, going, and we can team tag it as well, adding what needs to be added. So,
okay.
All right. Now I'm on subcommittee groups. So it gets a little confusing. Maybe Gail, you and I and Nathan should chat off, you know, aside from this meeting, because,
sure.
Because I think there are some issues, and the fact that we've got to have the county involved in that planning grant is another issue. So, yeah. So can we propose, Gail, that you and I and Nathan meet?
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay. and then we
we don't have to do a lot of the work here at the meet, you know, at a larger meeting. We should be doing it separately and then just reporting out what's going on.
We'll have our
It'll get smoother once everything is happening. Yes. Once we get underway with the meat of it.
Yeah.
Thank you everyone for that. I'm really looking forward to hearing progress and being, you know, just more involved. I really am so excited about these grants. And
I think there's great stuff going on with both grants. So, you know, I feel really good about you know, what's going on right now. So, and I think that, you know, from what I understand, Kyle Davies is, you know, ahead of the game with his work right now and what's happening with Dr. House kicking this off last Monday.
Yeah.
And so, you know, from what I understand, you know, we've got a great start to the care coordination grant. So
it's happening.
Feels good.
It's so great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we pass this MOU? What do you think?
I would say this is housekeeping, and I would make a motion to accept the MOU as it stands. And yes, does anyone second?
I would. Do I hear a second?
I would second.
Thank you. All any discussion on the adoption of the MOU for the San Juan Core Network Members Community-Based Long-Term Care Network? No, in that case, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Thanks for that. I am honestly really looking forward to more, to hearing more about the progress we're making. And it's great that these grants have started where they have and Pam was involved in them and that they're going to continue under Nathan's supervision and with all of our partners. It's a really exciting thing for our community.